would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, we'll be reading from that in just a moment. We have visitors with us this morning, and we want you to know that we're grateful that you come to be with us today. We've come together to worship our God and to study from His Word, and appreciate the love that you have for the Lord, the interest you have in the things of Jesus that will bring you here this morning. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, it says that Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" On November the 7th, 1907, railroad engineer Jesus Garcia noticed that a boxcar containing dynamite had stopped in the village of Nacazari in Sonora, Mexico. The boxcar had caught fire, and so he quickly drove the car away from the town. Unfortunately, the dynamite exploded, killing Garcia and 12 other rail workers. But because of his quick decision to drive the car away from the town, he saved the town of Nacazari. The town, now known as Nacazari de Garcia, continues to honor its hero with a monument in the town square. Now, I don't want to take away from Garcia's heroic action here. It was indeed courageous and heroic. But I would say that Garcia evidently acted on the spur of the moment. Something had to be done, and so he quickly responded by driving that car away. I don't know if he knew that it was going to explode. I doubt it. But it did, and he lost his life. And that was indeed a heroic event. But suppose, though, that morning, Garcia somehow knew that later that day, as he was working, a boxcar containing dynamite would catch fire, and someone would need to drive that car away from the town to save the town, and that it was possible that it would explode. Let's say he knew that that was what was going to happen early that morning. If he had gone to work that day and did the very same thing, then that would have been an even more courageous and more heroic event. The point that I want to make this morning is that denying self and taking up our cross and following Jesus is not just a matter of acting on impulse, not just the spur of the moment action, but rather it is doing the right thing even when we know the hardships and difficulties that are ahead. Jesus says, "If anyone will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross." We're going to take up the cross knowing there's a cross to bear as we follow Jesus. And that's what I want to emphasize this morning. You know, Jesus is a wonderful example of this. Our title of the lesson is "Take Up Your Cross and Follow Him." Jesus is a wonderful example of this. Of course, He took up His cross. You know, prior to Jesus going to Jerusalem, where He would suffer and He would be crucified on the cross, He knew what was awaiting for Him. Jesus knew that the cross was coming. You know, at least three times before Jesus went to Jerusalem, He predicts that this is what's going to happen. Look here in Matthew 16, verse 21. It says, "From that time, Jesus began to show to His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day." And then later in Matthew 17, verses 22 and 23, "Now while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill Him, and the the third day he will be raised up. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And then also later, in Matthew 20, verses 17 through 19, now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again." Over and over, he predicts that this is what will happen to him. The Jews would condemn him to death. He would be mocked and scourged. He would be crucified. He would rise again the third day. You know, a coward would have come up with thousands of reasons why he shouldn't go to Jerusalem that day. That's probably what we would do. We'd find some way to justify our not going. But Jesus was no coward. He went knowing what was ahead. He bore his cross, knowing that he was to bear it. The question I want to ask is, why did he go? Why did he do that? Well, he wanted to do the Father's will. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he emphasized the fact he came to do not his own will, but the will of the Father. In John chapter 5 and verse 30, Jesus says, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." And we know what he said at Gethsemane when he prayed to the Father that this cup of suffering, might pass from him. It says he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." The reason that he went to the cross is because he was determined to do the will of his Father. He loved the Father. But not only that, he loved man. He knew that in order for man to be saved, he had to go to the cross. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, Paul says, "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." An offering, a sacrifice to God that he offered. He offered himself on the cross, and he gave it himself because of us. He loved us. He wanted us to be saved. He wanted us to be in fellowship with him. Matthew 20 and verse 28, Jesus said, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." He gave himself as a ransom. He paid the price so that we might then go free. And I suggest to you that his love for man is seen in his selflessness. And I'm talking about even as he was going to the cross. And even as he was dying upon the cross, it's interesting that he's not really thinking of himself. Sure, he was thinking of the pain, the suffering that he was enduring. But all the while, he was thinking of others. Just look with me at some examples here, how in his suffering, he is thinking of others. You remember in John chapter 18, and when it records that after he had prayed at Gethsemane, that then Judas came with the detachment of troops and soldiers. It says that Jesus asked them, "Who do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus says, "Well, I am he." And you remember, they fell back. And he asked them again, "Who do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And you remember, he said to them in verse 8, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way." He was concerned about his disciples. He says, "You seek me, let them go." He was concerned about them. We also find that when he was, even after this, right after this, Peter took his sword, and you remember, cut off the high priest servant's ear. And in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 51, it says that Jesus told him, "Permit even this." He told Peter to put up his sword, sheath it. And he's touched the high priest servant's ear and healed it, showing concern for others. Later, he was delivered up to be crucified by Pilate, and he was on his way toward Golgotha, bearing his cross. You remember, they compelled Simon of Cyrene to bear the cross after him. But there were some women, and Luke records in Luke chapter 23 that there were those who then were bemoaning what was happening. It says, and a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren wombs that never bore. Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed. And they will begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will they be done in the dry? Jesus is expressing concern for these followers who are concerned about him, weeping for him, but he's concerned about them and makes mention of the destruction, the hardships that's going to come upon them. Also, you remember when he was upon the cross, he makes various statements, and among the statements that he makes shows concern that he had for others. He even prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You remember to the thief, one of the thieves that had repented, he says, surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And remember, he spoke to his mother and to John. In John 19, verses 26 and 27, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, that's John, standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. He was expressing concern for his mother and for John to take care of her. My point is this. We see that even during the times of his suffering, extreme suffering, he's thinking of others. He's selfless in this. And so here you have Jesus knowing that he is going, when he's going up to Jerusalem, that he's going to suffer, that he's going to be crucified. And why does he do that? Let me back up. Why does he do that? It's because he wanted to do the will of the Father and because he loved man. And you know, Jesus says to us, if you will come after me, you must take up your cross and you must follow me. Doesn't this imply that if we are to take our cross and follow him, we do not just act on impulse. It's not just at times of where, oh, I'm doing what's right just in the spur of the moment. It's at times of where we know the difficulties that are going to come. We've decided we're going to take up the cross. Cross is not easy. The cross indicates difficulties, hardships, trials, suffering. But we decide we're going to take it on, because that's what it means to follow Jesus Christ and to be right with him. You know, another good example of this is the Apostle Paul. Paul basically did the same thing. Now, he didn't go to the cross, but he was facing suffering, and he knew that suffering was coming. In Romans chapter 15, verses 25 and 26, Paul is in Corinth. He's on his third journey. And he's in Corinth, and he writes to the saints in Rome. He plans to come to Rome, talk to them about coming to Rome. But he says, but now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. So, Paul, where are you going? He says, I'm going to Jerusalem. Why are you going there? Well, to minister to the saints. He was going to take a contribution from the Gentile churches for the needy Jewish saints in Jerusalem. A very important work that was needed. But I want you to know that Paul knew as he was going to Jerusalem that there were going to be hardships and difficulties. There were going to be dangers awaiting him there. Even here in Romans chapter 15, if you notice in verses 30 and 31, he says, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit that you strive together with me in prayer to God for me. What? That I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. There seems some that Paul understood that there was going to no doubt be some trouble in Jerusalem, that those in Judea who did not believe, that they were going to maybe pose some problems for him. And he wants them to pray that he would be delivered from them. And we see this later. Remember, this is on his third journey. He's in Corinth, but he leaves Corinth. And he comes and he bypasses Ephesus, or rather he goes back through Macedonia. And he comes down and bypasses Ephesus, but he comes to Miletus and he calls for the elders of the church in Ephesus to come because he wanted to talk to them. Among other things, notice what Paul says to them in verses 22 through 24 of Acts 20. He says, "And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." What is awaiting you, Paul, in Jerusalem? Chains, tribulations are awaiting him there. He knows that. And then later, when he comes to Syria and then down to Caesarea, Agabus from Judea comes. It says, "And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, 'Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.' Now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem." What's awaiting you, Paul? He's going to be bound. Chains. Tribulations are awaiting him there. The brethren are saying, "Paul, don't go." You know, if it was us, we would probably find a lot of reasons why it would not be advantageous for us to go, justifiable for us not to go. "Well, I might be put to death there. I need to preach the gospel more. Now, there's some things that I need to do that would be hindered if I am put to death in Jerusalem." But that was not Paul's attitude. Notice what he goes on to say in verses 13 and 14. "Then Paul answered, 'What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.' So when he would not be persuaded, we cease saying, 'The will of the Lord be done.'" Paul is determined to go. Are we getting an idea here of what it means to take up the cross and follow Jesus? It is to go and do what is right, even when we know the suffering that awaits us there. You know, why was Paul so determined to go? Well, it was because of his love for the Lord. The Lord had given him a mission, and he was going to fulfill that mission. Going back to Acts 21 again, he said to the brethren there, not only was he willing to be bound, but to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. You remember back in chapter 20, he said to the elders of the church in Ephesus, he says, "that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." God, the Lord had given him a ministry to fulfill, to preach the gospel. This was a part of his work. And that was the reason he was going to Jerusalem. And he was determined to do the will of his Lord. But not only that, it's because of his love for his brethren. Why was he going? Well, to minister to the saints. Someone says, "Well, couldn't the others take it? He didn't have to go." But it was not only that. If you go back to Acts 20 again, it says, "the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." He was there to preach the gospel of Christ, and that was his mission, to go there to do that. And he was determined to fulfill and to finish that work. Because of his love for the Lord and his love for his brethren, his love for his fellow man, he was willing to bear his cross. He knew the cross that was ahead, but he was willing to bear that cross in order to do the Lord's will and to do what was right, to do what was in the best interest of his fellow man. Well, what about the applications to us? There are applications. There are times that we have to make decisions knowing their hardships, knowing that there are difficulties. And I'll tell you what I have done before. I have played the role of the coward and given all the reasons why, well, I don't think I need to do that. Well, the Lord didn't specifically tell me to do this. It's going to be too hard. Well, if I do that, then maybe this would happen. I've gone through that before. And there were things that I should have done, even though it's hard. But the reason I didn't want to do it, because it was hard. And the point I want us to see here is that taking up our cross, or denying self and taking up the cross and following Jesus, means there are going to be times, not just one time. And it's not going to just be the spur of the moment things that I do that's the right thing. It's going to be that I know what's ahead and I determine I'm going to do it. I make plans to do it, knowing the difficulties that are ahead. That's what it means to take up our cross and follow Him. I know of a preacher who was preaching in a northwestern state. There were brethren up there who had an erroneous view of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And he preached the truth on this. And there were brethren there who knew that he preached what they didn't believe. And they told him, says, if you preach this, then we're going to fire you. You will no longer be a preacher here. Well, he preached it. He already had his luggage, his furniture packed up in his van. And he was ready to move. And that's what happens. Sometimes preachers preach the truth knowing that they'll be fired. They know that, but they preach it anyway. Sometimes we have the responsibility to reprove those who are in sin. And that is so hard. You know, in Titus 3 and verse 10, it says, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. Have you ever had to go to a divisive man and admonish him? And the Lord tells us to do that. And I'll tell you something. When you go to a divisive man, and all indications are, you might think he's not going to receive this well. This is going to be a difficult situation. We're going to get into a conflict here. Do we go? Yeah, we got to go. Basically what the Lord is saying there, here's your cross. Take it up. Here's a brother or sister who has been overtaken in a trespass, who's committed a sin. What does the Lord tell us to do? He says, go and restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. And so you go to him in that spirit of gentleness, and you, with love, try to bring him to repentance, but he doesn't receive it very well. And you know that that's a possibility, that he's not going to receive it well. It's so easy for us to say, well, I don't think I need to go. No, we are commanded to go. And the Lord is basically saying, here's your cross. Go. We must have the courage to face those difficult, those hard times for the love of the Lord, to do His will, but also the love of our brother. The love of the one who's in sin. We don't know really how he's going to respond. Sometimes we think it's not going to do any good. He's not going to respond. That may be. And probably in the majority of cases where you've done that before, that has been the case. They have not received it well and it's been very difficult. Well, here you go again. And the Lord's saying, here's your cross. But we don't know how that brother now is going to respond. And so what do? We go. And we go again because the Lord wants us to do that. And because of our love for the Lord and our love for our brother, we then do what it takes to bring them to repentance. Here's a brother who has to confront his boss, a boss who expects him to be a part of some dishonest business endeavor. He knows he can't do that. But he knows that if he confronts his boss about this, that he may lose his job. Not only that, he may know he's going to lose his job. If he says no to his boss, what does the Christian do? He confronts his boss. He says, I can't do that. And the Lord is basically saying, here's your cross. Take it up. Bear it. You might say, it might be that this job is a very lucrative job. It's a good job. He's not going to be able to find another job like this one. He doesn't think. He likes his job. So he can find all these kinds of reasons then maybe to do the wrong thing in order to keep that job. The Lord's saying, no, you must obey me. You must come, deny yourself, take up your cross. And follow me. Here's a young sister who refuses to wear immodest clothing, knowing that she's going to be made fun of. Her friends are wearing all of these kinds of, and she knows it's not modest. She knows it's not the clothing that is consistent with shamefastness and sobriety. That's characteristic of a woman who professes godliness and one of a meek and quiet spirit. And so she chooses then to wear modest clothing, all the while knowing that there's going to be ridicule. She may even lose some friends over it. What is the Lord saying? He's saying to her, here's your cross. Take it up and follow me. How many other examples could we list over and over and over again of situations we face in our lives where we know there's trouble ahead. We know there are hardships. But what is the Lord saying? If you're going to be my disciple, if you're going to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Brethren, we will never learn what it is to take up our cross and follow Jesus until we're willing to do what is right in the face of dire consequences. If we've never faced that, we haven't followed Jesus. This is essential. This is a part of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. A cross is never easy. It takes courage. It takes conviction. It takes a conviction you will die for. And if we don't have that kind of conviction, that kind of commitment, then we're not following Jesus Christ. And so the determination that I have in my heart is I'm not going to allow that to happen again, of where it's hard to go talk to this brother. It's hard to go sit down with them. Someone that I've been friends with, but I've got to talk to them about a sin within their life. I'm going to do that. I am not going to allow my feelings, what I don't want to have to engage in, to keep me from doing what the Lord has commanded me to do. And why do I do it? It's because I love the Lord. It's because I love my brother. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've approached this. Maybe I'm thinking that this brother has committed to sin when he has not. Well, maybe he can teach me. And I'm willing to listen. And I'm willing to change where I need to change. My point is that we need to be willing to engage. We need to be willing to talk. We need to be willing to confront one another. And not allow the fear of the consequences or the repercussions to keep us from doing the right thing. That's what it means to take up our cross and follow Jesus. There may be some here this morning who've never given your life to Christ. You've never begun to follow Him. You've never become a Christian. Well, we want to encourage you to come, but the Lord has not left us guessing about what is involved in coming to Jesus. He says, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And we encourage you to do that this morning. And that comes as a result of you knowing that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are convinced of that. He is Lord. And now you're going to commit your life to Him by repenting of all your sins, making that commitment to follow Him in all things. You're willing to confess Him before this group and before all men. And He commands you to be baptized in His name for the remission of your sins. We encourage you to do that this morning if you've never made that commitment. If you've become a Christian but you've fallen away and you've allowed the pressures of this life, Satan, to keep you from doing what you know you ought to do, fear, lack of courage, to keep you from doing what you know you ought to do, repent of that. The Lord says repent. Confess your sins and pray God for forgiveness. We encourage you to do that. And you can come forward. We'll pray on your behalf that you might be healed. If you need to come, please come as we stand and sing.